Welcome to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. I'm Matt Rienzo here with Mark Weller. Mark, what is up?
Nothing, man. Just living the dream here. I mean, we're rocking and rolling here at Weller Development, and we're having a lot of fun. We're getting into a lot of cool subject matter through the projects, and today's going to be a really fun topic of discussion with something really innovative and exciting and technology driven, but using traditional materials, just doing it a different way.
Yeah, when we're recording this, it's we're in the sweltering summer heat, and it's hot, and everything's hot for us too. There's a lot going on, and we're really excited about today's podcast because today we're introducing and discussing a groundbreaking company and new technologies that are reshaping and disrupting the construction industry, really right before our eyes, Mark. I mean, we're talking about Icon out of Austin, Texas, and their innovative new 3D printing construction technology. Joining us from Icon is Graham Waitzkin, Chief Operating Officer of Icon. From their website, Icon leads with the fact that home building hasn't changed since the Middle Ages, and that in order to address the global housing crisis, something radical and courageous needs to happen. Enter Icon and their innovative construction scale 3D printing that is designed to deliver high quality homes faster and more affordably, and change the way entire communities are built. Mark, you had the chance to see Icon CEO Jason Ballard speak at South by Southwest earlier this year. Then we had the opportunity to tour the Icon headquarters in Austin back in April. Incredibly cool technology and company and operation. What are your thoughts, you know, after visiting and learning about it?
Well, let me go back a little bit to go forward. I was invited down there for a combination of reasons, and I was invited to the Icon South by Southwest, and I was VIP, which was so cool. Gave me better seating, right? I had great view.
That always helps.
Yeah, exactly. No, in all seriousness, it was mobbed. There was 5,000-10,000 people. I don't know how many people held that big room held, that auditorium, but it was incredible. I was kind of thinking I was going to be fidgeting in my chair waiting for it to end, and it was actually the opposite. 10 or 15 minutes into it, I was on the edge of my chair, and I was hoping it wouldn't end anytime soon.
And that's really why we set this up, because what you learned on that trip really was the
beginning. Well, I think for me, and we'll get into it, we'll bring Graham on in a minute, but I think what's really interesting about it is that, you know, what their website states couldn't be more accurate. We've been doing things the same ways for 100, 200 years. Things are a little better. Technology's a little better. But
thousands of years, probably.
Yeah, right. And I've been in the business now close to 30, 25 really solid years, close to 30 years. And I've been looking for this breakthrough in construction technology that's always been like kind of you felt like there was a chance, but it never happens or it never really materializes from a cost standpoint, a timing standpoint, or anything. And then enter proper 3D printing of building structures, etc. And I saw the way it was done, and I just was fascinated because I saw it being done in front of me, toured the facility, etc. And we'll get into all that. Spent a lot of time looking at projects they've built and so on, and it is just it's game changing. So, anyways.
Yeah, that's great. Can't wait to talk about it. Let's invite Graham on the show.
Hey, Graham, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
How's it going? How you doing? Great. Great to see you.
Doing fantastic. Great to see you as well.
Yeah, we're back here in Washington, D.C., your original home. And when we met, Graham, what did we figure out in the first 10 minutes? You asked me where I lived and I asked where you lived, and we grew up. You grew up about a mile and a half away where I live right now with my family.
I know. It's such a trip. It's such a trip. I'm trying to get up to D.C. and come see you guys.
Yeah, well, we hope to have you soon. We love coming to visit you.
The world gets smaller, too, because Graham vacations next door to where I vacation up in the Cape, and we didn't know that either.
Yeah, so, no, the world,
pretty
the world,
small
the,
world.
Yeah. The world is a small place when you start exchanging information.
Old friends, similar old friends. I love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Old friends and new friends.
Yep.
So, Mark mentioned that he was lucky enough to see your CEO and founder, Jason Ballard, at South by Southwest. Mark, why don't you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting into it before, but I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you brought me in, and quite frankly, you gave me one of the best surprises I've had, you know, from a work perspective in years. And I felt like there was hope. And I felt like when I saw Jason, I was watching this Steve Jobs type thing of my industry, right? Of the business that I've chosen to focus on. And then I got to know you really well. We had a lot in common, and we spent a lot of time together over the past 6 months. And I just felt like this was worth talking about. And, you know, I actually came back and said to my kids, a couple of my kids that are starting to think about careers and other things, hey, you can do what I do for a living, but I want to show you a better way to do it. You know, maybe the new way to do it, the better way to do it that I think is going to be in the future. So I was just blown away. So, you know, I wanted to hear from you because, you know, getting to know you was just the most important part of this, really getting to know you well and the projects well and the product well. Tell us about the vision and tell us about the idea and tell us just about the big picture of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it was great to spend a few days with you when you were down for South by Southwest, Mark. I bet you didn't think you were going to see some enormous construction robots and even a rocket launch before the end of the week.
I thought I was going to see something somewhat, you know, like a version of what I've seen before, right? Yeah. So, no, I did not. And I did not believe that I, you know, actually, this is a funny
thing. Are you going to explain the rocket launch?
Yeah, yeah. We went to
dinner. You can't just tease that and not go into it.
No. We went to dinner and it turns out, and you can read about some of this, but you know, they have very close relationships with people. And we went to dinner. We had a late dinner, a lot of fun at a great restaurant. And
this was after South by Southwest.
After South by Southwest, And so Graham dropped me off at the hotel I was staying at, and he calls about a half hour later. It's got to be 11:30 at night, 12 at night. Hey man, you want to see a rocket launch tomorrow? I said sure. He goes, I'll pick you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
you're kidding me.
It's ruined my life. So he comes to the hotel at 4. We get in his car, Tesla, of course. We zoom over. We get on a plane. We shoot over to South Padre Island. And I've never seen it before. I watched it. What was that rocket we watched launch? What was the big one?
That was Starship.
That was Starship.
First time it went orbital.
And my favorite part was, and you told me this up front, you're like, look, you know, this is a different kind of building company. And maybe this is a good lead into where we're going. We have a lot of really advanced engineers on the team. So everybody we're going with, except for me and you, are advanced engineers in these various subject matters, and they've worked on these rockets, or they are absolute enthusiasts of these rockets and these companies. And you were not kidding. On the plane ride over at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, I mean, I've never seen such excitement and giddiness amongst a group of guys and that were in the plane and talking about what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, what it was going to look like, and all these different things. I got so into it. It was so fun. And then we landed in South Padre or right adjacent to it. And you have to get out of there and go to where this special area where we could watch the rocket launch. And I'm not exaggerating. There is tens of thousands of people lined up on the, I would say in the hundreds of thousands, probably everywhere, lined up on the sides of the roads, walking in everywhere. It was just amazing. That was really fun. But I think where I was going with that, Graham, is that the folks that I met through that trip really started to explain how and why your company was where it was and is where it is. You have some of the truly best and brightest in the world working on this technology to develop these various technologies that you've developed that are actually working and building homes and buildings now.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. I mean, enough about space. But I think that the key thing is these are folks working at Icon, working at, you know, on some of these technologies that otherwise, you know, could be rocket scientists, right? And they are focusing their efforts on our core mission here at Icon, which is to solve the global housing crisis. And, Icon is a six-year-old venture-backed construction technology company. We're down here in Austin, Texas, where there's a lot of innovation going on in hardware, in robotics. And really the genesis of our company is that there simply is not enough quality housing in the world. Really, any way you slice it, in the U.S. alone, right, there's probably 1 to 2 million home housing gap every year. And if you look out at the world more broadly, there's probably 1 billion people globally without adequate housing. And so that's what has brought the people together at Icon. That was the genesis of the company. And that's what we get up to do every day. We also look at, hey, really construction methods. And you mentioned this earlier, construction methods haven't really changed for hundreds of years. In some cases, thousands of years. And yeah. So they're like really clear institutional problems in the construction industry, whether it's methods or materials, labor, and those are problems that aren't going to solve themselves. And
hey, Graham, put that perspective for people real quick. Like when you were talking to me, like we were talking about technology and like the iPhone came out in what was it, 2007? And or give or take or whatever it was
earlier.
But I'm sorry, maybe it's a couple years earlier, but point is that look at what it's done to people's lives and these other types of systems have done to people's lives in that short a period of time. And we've made very little, if any, advancement in building and construction. And that was your point, right? On all of this. And that's what many of us have always wondered, but I don't want to say people are resistant to change, but nobody's offered them the right opportunity or the right solution for this problem, right? And so I think finally somebody is.
Yeah, I mean, you look around all the industries that we're familiar with, like big industries that make a big difference in our economy and our world, whether it's healthcare or manufacturing, right? All of these industries have seen a massive influx of technology and automation over the last 20, 30 years, and construction has not, right? And it still represents this massive portion of any economy, right? Is construction, mm-hmm. and not just construction, housing construction specifically, right? And so it just seems like this is an area that needs technology to intervene.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And, you know, as Matt mentioned before, we had the pleasure of touring the headquarters in Austin back in April. It's remarkable. It's one of those things I think you almost have to see it to believe it. And it's incredibly advanced, but it's also simple in the same form. You understand what it is. You can relate to what's going on around you. So take us through the evolution of the printing systems you have. And we're hoping we're going to give a link and so on, so people can check out your website and check out your different things. And also the South by Southwest, we'll put that up as well. South by Southwest presentation that Jason gave was amazing. And I think I've referred several people over to watch that. It's a little bit of time. It's an hour and a half commitment, but you learn a lot about 3D printing. So tell us about where the evolution of the printing system, where it's headed, like you have the Vulcan versus the Phoenix and so on. And sort of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. On our YouTube channel, there's links to both. I think there's like a 2-minute rapid summary of the South by Southwest talk. And if you're really want to go for a deep dive, there's a full 90 minutes of that South by Southwest talk. And you know, you can go down a deep icon rabbit hole all night long on YouTube and watch so many videos. So all that's up there. But yeah, thinking about what's going on here at Icon, I think you kind of agree, it's a little bit like Willy Wonka's factory in here. Matt, you've been here as well.
It's incredible. It was the coolest day, you know, from a construction and development perspective to see something new and exciting that you all are doing. It really was eye-opening.
Yeah, appreciate that. I mean, at our core, we're trying to use robotics and AI software to solve the global housing crisis and bring technology into the construction industry. So our approach is to tackle this with vertical integration. So we make our own robotics, we build our own AI softwares, we design architecture for homes that can be 3D printed, we design and batch our own construction materials, and then we operate that entire platform in the field to really show the world what 3D printed construction can bring. And at the core of all that is a 3D printing system. So, Mark, as you mentioned, we started with a gantry style 3D printer that we call the Vulcan.
Explain what that means, gantry style 3D printer.
Yeah. For folks listening, like if you picture a small 3D printer on your desk and blow that up now, so it's 15 feet tall and 50 feet wide and runs on tracks that can print 100 feet long. And instead of printing with plastic, it prints with our own proprietary low carbon concrete mix that we call CarbonX. And just like that desktop 3D printer, it builds structures layer by layer, inch by inch, until you have a complete wall system of a home. So the Vulcan is
But well, and the other thing that people didn't understand, I certainly didn't, this is done in place. So it's done actually in the location where a lot of people imagine you building these parts and then bringing it to a site. It's actually quite the opposite. You're building this thing in place.
Yeah, I think there's been a fair amount of innovation in prefab and those kind of things, factory built construction. And we have a bias towards on-site construction, more similar to kind of a traditional construction process. We bring the 3D printer to the site. It's almost like a ghost factory in the sense, you know, you've heard of like a ghost kitchen. It's like the printer shows up, it prints the building, and then the printer disappears. And then we finish out the building with traditional construction. But what we are able to do because of that, because we're building on site and not needing to transport like a prefab building, is we can really build a building that is site designed for where it's being built and not designed for transportation, right? So
these things are as solid as they get. I mean, the Carbon X material is a concrete material. It's heavy. It's not going anywhere, right? And you're pouring this entire system in place. It's all done in place. I think that's the thing that a lot of people didn't understand or don't understand about 3D printing the way you're doing it.
Yeah. So we bring the printer out to the field. The current printer is operated by one to two people. It's building with concrete and basically delivers the envelope of the building, right? So the foundation, the structural wall system, the outer layer, the inner layer of the wall, and even at times roofs.
That's amazing. And you don't need, like, for example, when you do the outer layer and the inner layer, that becomes your insulation. So you don't have, you don't have the need for insulation and the drywall added and all kinds of other steps that normally take place.
Yeah. You remove the need for drywall, you remove the need for baseboard, all these additional things that come along with this kind of multi-layered system that we're used to. And what you end up with is a really high performing wall system from a energy perspective, from a resiliency perspective.
So, but the gantry style is the Vulcan, correct? That's your Vulcan system. So then when I was at South by Southwest, I saw this new amazing technology, which was equally as amazing, called Phoenix.
Yeah.
So tell us what that means, you know, to the business and what that means for Icon.
Yep. So we've been working with the Vulcan system and over the last 6 years, pretty much, you know, once every 12 months, we launch a new or release a new version of the Vulcan. And typically it gets bigger, gets more automated, gets faster, gets cheaper to deliver a home. And so we're out in the world printing with Vulcan today. And we'll be printing with Vulcan for this year and next year. We also unveiled at South by the Phoenix printer, which will roll to the field in 2026 timeframe. So Phoenix is really a game changer. And Phoenix, unlike the Vulcan, which is a gantry, you can imagine like a fixed footprint. The Phoenix is a crane-based printer. So think like a crane arm.
When you say it is a concrete pump. Mm-hmm. It looks like a concrete pump to me almost.
Yeah.
With a big arm that rolls over to the areas that you want to dump the concrete, except this is done with incredible precision with a robotic and that has, you know, eyes on it and
surgical precision.
That's a good visual, right? It's like, it looks a lot like a big concrete crane pump that would come to the site, but also has all the machine vision and cameras and automation that you would expect a piece of high technology to have. Yeah. So the Phoenix is a crane-based printer that can print multi-story. It sets up in a matter of hours and can be operated by less than one operator, meaning like one operator can sit at a bank of video screens and operate multiple printers at a time.
That's amazing.
And really, that's that, you know, we've done a lot over the last few years to advance the Vulcan and the gantry technology, but the Phoenix is the next leap forward that we're super excited about.
So what I found fascinating as well, which I always find fascinating, because I've bought things from different people who make their own product and so on. All truly make this entire system from scratch, each one of them. Now, the Phoenix will be a little different because you'll attach to an existing crane system type thing, and then you'll finish off the end of it, which you can see. But like the gantry, for example, you're building the entire system from scratch on your premises.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, this entire industry, construction 3D printing, is pretty nascent. And so there's not like an existing supply chain. Like you can't like open up a catalog and buy construction 3D printing parts, which is interesting to think about, particularly in comparison to things that we're more familiar with. Like, hey, you start up a new car company, you're going to make electric vehicles. You can still order the wheels and the windshield and the seats from the existing, you know, tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers. For our industry, none of that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
So it's been a big process for us to basically invent a supply chain, invent manufacturing methods. But, you know, with that comes real innovation, right, and differentiation in the market. So
hence the rocket scientist, you know, level,
exactly, right,
engineer, yep, type folks that are helping build. And then also what's really cool, the people that actually build, I mean, you've got some incredible, like the welders that you have and so on. I mean, it's the people putting these pieces together to create this is really, really extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit. Obviously, there's tons of benefits of this system, and we'll try and get to all of them and bring those to the surface for the listeners so they understand. But let's talk about a few of them just really quickly. So you've got the manpower associated with traditional construction versus the 3D printing manpower. Talk a little bit about that and also the speed of delivery of a home and the price and how all of those things work together.
Yeah. Great question, Matt. I mean, we are in construction after all, and everybody's, you know, you got to understand how this fits into you know, everybody's budgets, right? Really, we've spent the last 2 years of our company's existence driving our costs down to be comparable with traditional construction. So we print a wall system in the low $30 a square foot, which is comparable to like the NAHB averages for home building. And then Phoenix will take us even lower than that and make us decidedly more affordable than industry. You know, the other thing is because it's a robot, the cycle times can be a lot faster and more predictable, right? So the printer is designed to print a single family home in about a week. It doesn't take breaks. It runs quietly for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can get way more speed, more predictability out of, you know, some of the key industry metric like cycle times and that kind of thing. And we really believe like we're just kind of understanding and getting this out into the industry where people can see the benefits of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and you just did, there was a really exciting project I went and visited with you and Matt, I think you came too,
yep,
to Lennar, the Genesis collection at Wolf Ranch in Georgetown, mm-hmm, Texas. And yep, that was an example of on scale. I mean, I don't know how many homes are in there, 100 or something.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least it's a lot of homes. And 3D printed, and they're gorgeous, and they look beautiful. You add a tint to the concrete. I think there's like a coloring, and they're different colors, like white and so on, and they're beautiful, and they're so well built. And so I got to see that. Tell us about that experience. Was that your first sort of scaled, you know, experience, and at that price point, and tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's really a remarkable project, and the first time that we were able really to demonstrate at scale what we can do. So, I mean, at ICON, we build everything. We build everything from housing to the home for the homeless to luxury housing. And the project with Lennar was really the first time we were able to go out and say, okay, we're going to build 100 homes in a master plan community and really show what a 3D printed housing community could be. And so if you're familiar with Georgetown, Texas, it's kind of on the north end of Austin, on the way to Waco, Dallas. It's one of the fastest growing communities in the country. So we printed 100 homes up there. We're actually just wrapping up the prints there, so not quite through. These buildings designed by Bjark Ingels Group, metal roof, solar. And I mean, I was part of building it, and it still blows me away when I go up there as people are moving into that neighborhood, homes are selling, the neighborhood's opening up, and it's really a kind of remarkable thing. I mean, y'all have been there. I think it changes your perspective on what like 3D printed building or housing is. And then you see it, you're like, oh wow, this is, I would live here.
Right? What it does is it takes you from idea and a cool thing that you think could work to, oh my God, this actually can work.
And what's also interesting, Graham, which I find you, and we skipped, you blew right through that, but you're like Bjark Ingels.
Yeah, I was gonna be like,
Bjark Ingels is arguably, you know, the best architect of our generation in the world, thought leader in the world. And so here is Bjark Ingels doing a Lennar subdivision in Georgetown, Texas. With you, I mean, like that alone almost has to put some value on the home. And I don't know whether the home buyers appreciate that or not, but that's fascinating. And that should tell you a little bit of the levels of interest of thought leaders in the industry who have gotten involved with Icon and the idea of what it is you're attempting to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think because of the potential for this technology is we get the opportunity to work with some pretty incredible partners. I mean, Bjarke talks about this being like a new paintbrush in his toolkit, right? And you know, it's the same reason why we've been able to get contracts with the U.S. Department of Defense to build housing for our servicemen and women, or even contracts with NASA to build you know, the technology to build on the moon and Mars. Is there's so much potential in this technology, and when you see kind of a group of people and capabilities assembled that can, like if you can dream it, we're going to try to build it. I think people get really excited to collaborate.
No, that's great. Remarkable. Yeah, that's great. And I mean, just that name alone has to tell you something.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow along on that because, Mark, I was going to ask a similar question. In addition to Bjark Ingels, who is an incredible architect, as we mentioned, you also have in-house design capabilities, quite a team put together, and really extensive design elements available throughout all your projects. Talk a little bit about that, whether it's Codex or Vitruvius or any of these other elements that incorporate the design and making that available to the market.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I mean, one of the things that we have seen over the past few years is, you know, when you have someone like a Bjarke or otherwise, like visualizing what the future of housing can be, it eliminates a lot of like open questions for folks, and it helps people really picture in their mind what this type of housing is. But not everybody can do that, right? And it's not every day you get to bring in Bjarke on a project or someone like that. And so we decided to invest in a number of technologies to bring 3D printed housing designs and make them more real for people. So one is Codex. So if you go on the Icon site, you can go to, you know, like browse homes, and you can see a catalog of about 40 different home designs from, you know, $100,000 homes all the way up to $3-5 million homes, all that are now in our catalog and can be 3D printed. On top of that, we saw an opportunity to help people kind of use their imaginations more and leverage AI. And we built something called Vitruvius that's also on our site, which is a effectively like an AI architect that can bring concept designs to life in the form of renderings and floor plans. And interestingly, it can generate for you 3D printed or non 3D printed buildings. We're going through all this effort to make it teach it how to design 3D printed buildings, and it was like, well, as long as we're here, let's do traditional buildings as well.
Provides a benefit to the user on the other end. You know, they get the great design no matter how they're going to build it. So that's great.
Yeah, it's kind of like just jumping over this uncanny valley for people and helping them kind of understand and visualize what this technology can bring.
Hey, one question, I just wanted you to explain to the team too, because it's just needs to be explained, and then you can visualize it a little bit, and then see some of the photographs. You can understand it. So, sure. How do you install the various necessary components and pieces for the trades, such as HVAC systems or plumbing? You know, like you showed me how you measure these things out and how it's computer driven and you're using AI and all this. Tell us about how that comes together as a sort of a package when you're buying one of these products.
Yeah. Great question. And I'm sure, some of y'all's listeners there are the construction industry folks that really want to geek.
That's why I asked that. I remember you showed me a wall example, like right in the first couple hours. And I was like, I got it. I understand now, but it just, I couldn't get my head around any of what you were doing and how you were doing it and how you were making it make sense.
Sure. So I think when a lot of people hear that it's a concrete wall, they think like a cast in place, a slab of concrete, right? Like a solid, thick concrete wall. And that's not what our system is. We build what we call a two-bead wall system. So there's an outer layer and an inner layer. And then there's an open cavity in the middle, just like you would find in a traditional kind of stick frame wall or concrete masonry wall. There's a cavity in the middle. And in that cavity, that's where you can run all your electrical, all your plumbing. You can put insulation if you want it and need it. That's kind of where the trades are able to get in there and fish their wires or run their equipment. The printer also knows, because it's entire digital construction system, everything that goes, that's in the CAD. So all of the MEPs that are in your Revit model, go directly into the printer software. And so, the printer knows where the electrical outlets are supposed to go, where the plumbing, openings are going to be, and we'll, basically like print around them. So when a plumber shows up or electrician shows up, he or she sees, okay, here's my hole or here's my leave out for my equipment. So it's actually pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff, if you're including any of that in these packages and so on, you can actually have all of the material, like if it was a remote location or whatever, you can have all of the material measured out to the inch, to the foot, like in on site, ready to go for installation as the product gets built. Correct.
Yeah. It's funny, for the industry folks, there's this concept for all of us in construction of an as-built drawing. And it's like, hey, after construction is done, we're going to redraw all the plans based on what the contractors changed in the field.
Yeah.
The printer doesn't, it can make changes if you want it to, but the printer will print exactly what's in the plans.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's like what you see is what you get from your design to completion. And along with that, right, just way more precision. So when we're thinking about how does the wall connect to the roof or the foundations or other elements, you can do a lot with like pre-kitting all your other components of the home, and things tend to fit together a lot more accurately than you would with traditional construction methods.
So that's an awesome answer. Very interesting to hear about the design and also how the trades get incorporated into it. Talk about the optionality of finishes on these homes. The the texture and the exterior is unique, as is the wall system on the interior. So talk about what you can do with that. How, you know, you've got this concrete wall on the interior of your home. How do you finish that? How do you hang things? How does somebody really build their home to their liking with this system?
Yeah. Yeah. We think about it in a few different ways. So there's the concrete material itself. So we print with our, concrete mix that we call Carbon X. It's a low carbon, cementitious material. And when we are actually batching that material, we can add dyes. So if you want to have a raw concrete finish, it can be kind of a traditional gray concrete color, or it can be any kind of dyed concrete color that you can imagine, whether it's like sandy or reds or browns, any tint of a concrete. Also, we think about coatings. So the wall can be painted. So I think, Mark, what you were talking about up at Wolf Ranch in Georgetown with Lennar, those are painted a whole variety of colors. I think those are white on the inside and different shades of gray and creams on the outside. And then we also know that some folks really want kind of a smooth wall finish. So we have plasters, stuccos that can be applied directly on the 3D printed materials after it's printed. And it's a matter of the application, right? If you're going for kind of the lowest cost, quickest method, you're going to probably leave an exposed 3D printed concrete wall. If you're looking for a more elevated finish, you may go with a Venetian plaster direct applied to the wall. There's a lot of optionality there.
Yeah, no, I noticed all the different ways you did it in your House Zero, which is another thing I think that's available on the website.
That's so cool.
Yeah, House Zero kind of shows you like four or five different ways to finish off your house in one location. And that was your first house you ever built, right? And it's awesome. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah, appreciate that. That house is fantastic. It's not exactly the first one we ever built, but it's the first one that was designed from the ground up to be 3D printed. Everything else prior to that was someone coming to us and giving us a design for a home and saying, hey, can you 3D print this? Yeah. And so what we were able to do with House Zero, and it's on our site and you know, easily searchable on the web, is designed by Lake Flato, world-class architects based here in Texas. Was really allow people to dream and you know, really see the potential for what 3D printed construction can be. I mean, there's a classic experience when anyone goes in House Zero, if you're kind of curious, like, I don't know if 3D printed housing is for me, almost everybody that goes in there is like, yeah, I'd live in this house.
Yeah, totally. We said the same thing when we walked in. It's great.
You'd live in that house anytime, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, that concludes part one of our conversation with Graham Waitzkin of Icon. Tune in next time for part two. I'm Matt Rienzo. He's Mark Weller. Keep building, people.